you know, things don't work out.
You could start a cake decorating business, and you're already famous for that.
Yeah. Playing cake decorator.
Roses, his specialty.
Okay, well, let's let's go to Genesis chapter 29. And I wanted to look into the Word of God this morning about what it says on praising God. Because we're going to be taking our picture afterwards, and at the request of Janet Johnson, who every year at family camp, she's the one that sets up the prayer room, all the decorations, make sure it's nice and conducive for prayer. And this year she asked all the fellowships to have a group picture taken. And they're going to have different themes. And the one theme that she had for our group was praise. And she thought because we like to sing a lot and play the instruments and praise God that it would be a good theme for our fellowship. So I wanted to look at what God says about praise. And Genesis 29 is the first place that the English word praise is used in the King James Bible. And it's in verse 35. And it's talking about Leah, who is wife of Jacob, later also named Israel. And in verse 35 it says, "And she conceived again and bare a son, and she said, Now will I praise the Lord. Therefore she called his name Judah and left bearing." So that was the last child that she had, but she had several of them, I think four sons. And this one she named Judah, and the word Judah means praise. Praise God, praise the Lord. And this word for praise, there's several Hebrew words that are translated praise. This particular one has the meaning of to raise the hand to, or to give credit for something. It's also translated confess, as in confess your sins. But it's also used, when it's used of God, it's talking about praising or thanking God for something. I guess when if you're confessing your sins, you're giving yourself credit for the bad things you've done, right? You're admitting it. When you're talking about the great things that God has done, you're giving him credit for those things that he's done. So it's like, praise the Lord, you know, to God be the glory, great things he has done. You give him a hand and you acknowledge that he's the one that receives the credit. And you could spend all day thinking of the great things God has done, beginning with creating the heavens and the earth and our salvation and everything. Go to chapter 49. This is also concerning Judah. And it uses this word again. When Jacob, before he died, he gathered his family around him so he could bless all of his sons. And in chapter 49, in verse 8, he mentions Judah, and he says, "Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise." So, and again, that word for praise is a takeoff on the name of Judah. And he said, "Thy hand shall be in the neck of thine enemies," because the word praise, the root word, has to do with the hand. So Judah is the one that his brethren would praise, and his hand would be in the neck of his enemies. He said, "Thy father's children shall bow down before thee." Judah is a lion's whelp. "From the prey, my son, thou art gone up. He stooped down, he couched as a lion, and as an old lion, who shall rouse him up?" Later on in the book of Revelation, Jesus Christ is referred to as the Lion of the tribe of Judah, which is significant. Verse 10 says, "The scepter or the rod shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. So, some things about Judah. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 10, where we'll see another word that's translated praise. And we'll start in verse 20 of Deuteronomy 10. And it says, "Thou shalt fear or reverence the Lord thy God. Him shalt thou serve, and to him shalt thou cleave, and swear by his name. He is thy praise." And we'll discuss what that means, but let's read it. "He is thy praise, and he is thy God, and hath done for thee these great and terrible things." That terrible is in a good way. It means awesome things, "which thine eyes have seen. Thy fathers went down into Egypt with 70 persons. 70 of them went down to Egypt. And now the Lord thy God hath made thee as the stars of heaven for multitude," which is something he had promised to Abraham 400 years before this time. But it says, "He is thy praise." And this word praise means to applaud, or to just say, talk about how great someone is, and often with song, you know, to sing the praises of somebody. And it's used many places, and I want to take it at one place in Psalm 66. Get your kicks in Psalm 66 here. In verse 1 says, "Make a joyful noise unto God, all ye lands. Sing forth the honor of his name. Make his praise glorious." So this is that word for praise. And you can see that it can have a lot to do with music. You know, making the joyful noise and singing forth the honor of his name. Make his praise glorious. So that means just sing God's praises all day long. Let people know how great he is. There's a psalm, another psalm, 148, that uses this word over and over again. Psalm 148. Maybe somebody can count how many times it uses the word praise, but it's that same word. It says, "Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise ye him, all his angels. Praise ye him, all his hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all ye stars of light. Praise him, ye heavens of heavens, and ye waters that be above the heavens." Remember that from Genesis 1. They're still there. "Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded, and they were created. He hath also established them forever and ever. He hath made a decree which shall not pass. Praise the Lord from the earth, ye dragons and all deeps, fire and hail, snow and vapors, stormy wind fulfilling his word, mountains and all hills, fruitful trees and all cedars, beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl." Reminds me of that joyful, joyful, we adore thee song. "Kings of the earth and all people, princes and all judges of the earth, both young men and maidens, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is excellent. His glory is above the earth and heaven. He also exalteth the horn of his people, the praise of all his saints, even of the children of Israel, a people near unto him. Praise ye the Lord."
I've had 13.
13? That's a lot in 14 verses. And if you go to the next one, just read a couple of verses here. It says, "Praise ye the Lord. Sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise in the congregation of his saints." Let Israel rejoice in him that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Let them praise his name in the dance. So you can, it's like when David danced before the Lord with all his might. He did that to praise God. Let them sing praises unto him with the timbrel and harp. So you have the percussion and the stringed instruments, and you can do all that to praise God. Let's go to Judges chapter 5. I want to show you another one. It's translated praise. Right after Joshua.
What chapter?
Chapter 5 of Judges. There's a prophetess named Deborah that she was the spokesman for God at this time. And a guy named Barak, who is the head of the army of Israel. And the word Barak means bless or praise. And so this guy named Barak and this lady named Deborah, who was a prophetess. Barak was the son of Abinoam, it says in verse 1. They sang a song together. They did a duet. Kind of like Lynn and Frank singing, "Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus." And they sang in verse 2, it says, "Praise ye the Lord for the avenging of Israel when the people willingly offered themselves." And that word for praise is the word Barak. So Deborah and Barak sang, "Barak the Lord." You know, and they sang this wonderful song about the victory that God gave them over their enemies in battle. Because God, it says God delivered their enemies into the hand of Barak and Deborah. So they sang about it, had a victory song. Now this word, Barak, for praise means bless. It's used a lot in the Bible, and it is used first in Genesis chapter 1. And it's in verse 22 is the first place. And this was on the third day of God setting the creation in order. Starting verse 21, it says, God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters and the seas, and let fowl multiply in the earth. So God was the first one to bless anyone. And when God blesses, whoever he blesses is blessed. It starts with the words from the mouth of God, and then it results in good things for that person. So if anyone's blessed by God, it's not just words. It's words that have power. It's words that produce what God sends it to do. So God blessed those animals in the water and in the air. In verse 28, after God created man in his own image, male and female, verse 28 says, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. So God blessed the man, the first man and the first woman. And they did multiply, didn't they? Mm-hmm. I mean, look at all of us. So, in chapter 9 of Genesis, after the flood of Noah, unfortunately, all the people that multiplied from Adam and Eve were all good people. And they said the earth was filled with violence and God had to do something about it. So he had this flood, but he saved some of them. And in chapter 9, verse 1, it says, God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Very similar to the blessing upon Adam and Eve. Now, in this chapter, in verse 26, it says, and he, Noah, talking, said, blessed be the Lord God of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. This is the first time I could find any human being blessing God. Okay? It's been a couple of thousand years of people on the earth, but the first time that this word is used coming from the mouth of a person, blessing God. But since then, it's used a lot. Like in Psalm 68, I'm going to take you there. Psalm 68, verse 19. One of the many places that it uses this. It's again used many times of God blessing people. And here's another place where it's people blessing God. And it's in a song, because all the psalms were songs. And it says, blessed be the Lord, who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. Selah, which means stop and think about this. So, blessed be the Lord. And it gives a reason why, because he daily loadeth us with benefits. So you want to have your dump truck open, ready to get your load for the day. And he's the God of our salvation. He's the God that makes us whole, that rescues us from danger, that heals us when we're sick, that does all these great things for us. Those are part of the daily benefits that we receive from God. And I want to go to a couple of places in the New Testament. Let's go to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2 tells us what happened on the day of Pentecost a couple of thousand years ago when the gift of Holy Spirit was first given. The great outpouring of that gift that, you know, the whole purpose of the life of Jesus Christ and his ministry was to make this gift available for people. And they received it. And Peter, you know, got up and told everybody about it and made it available to them. And a lot of people received it that day. Few thousand of them. And start reading in verse 42. It says, and they, those that gladly received the word, those 3,000 souls, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, their teaching, and their fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers, and fear, or just awesome respect came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. A lot of miracles. And all that believed were together and had all things common and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all as every man had need. So people had more than that they needed, gave to those that had less. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat, their food, with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. So they just praised God all the time. They were just so thankful, so glad that God had saved their lives, so glad that they'd received the gift. That, you know, and these were people that had, you know, joined the crowd yelling for Jesus Christ to be crucified, were the first ones that received the gift of salvation. And they understood it, and they hung out with the apostles. They listened to them. They heard what they taught, and they hung together and supported each other. And just every day praising God and then having favor with all the people. They didn't keep it to themselves. They shared with everybody what God had done. And the Lord added daily to the church such as should be saved. And now let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. So all those people that received the Word of God and the Spirit of God on Pentecost, they were all people of Israel. Later on, people from all the other nations were invited in. God had kept it a secret for thousands of years that he would do this, but he made the announcement that everybody can come in. Everyone can receive the same salvation and be part of the same body. And Ephesians is written to make that declaration clear and plain, and is written to those who are from different nations. Just like I'm sure a lot of us come from different national backgrounds, and we're all here together today as one body, which is really cool. In chapter 1, verse 1, it says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God. That in itself is amazing, because Paul was the one who was persecuting the church and hauling him off to jail and having him killed. He was the one chosen to make this announcement to the nations. A former Pharisee, Hebrew of Hebrews, was sent to the nations, the Gentiles, to make this known. It's just amazing what God does and how he does it. So it's to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, and that includes all of us in every place. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So God is blessed. And this is a word that's eulogeo. It's where we get the word eulogy from. You know, when someone passes away and they have a memorial service, there's usually one or more people that will give eulogy, which means to speak well of that person before everybody else, to let them know the good things about that person, that they were that had fallen asleep. It's good to say good things about God who's alive forever, and also of one another, you know, while we're still living to hear the words, right? Hopefully they'll still say good things if you do fall asleep. but this is about God. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us, and it uses that same word eulogeo concerning us. He has blessed us. And remember we saw in Genesis, when God blesses, good things happen to those that get blessed. The things that God says about those people come to pass. Yeah, they might have to believe those words that are spoken first to receive the blessing, but it comes to pass for them. So, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ? The spiritual blessings are the best kind. You can get a physical blessing and you can enjoy it for a time, but spiritual blessings, they're forever. He's blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. Chosen in Christ. Chosen in him. Before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy, separated from the rest of the world, without blame before him, in love having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace. That's what he chose us for. That's what he marked us out in advance, that we who would believe in Jesus Christ would be to the praise of the glory of his grace. His grace, what he's given for free, what he's given out of his loving heart, that we're the recipients of that grace, and we're to be to the praise of the glory of his grace. The glory is what can be seen of something. You know, the light that shines from an object. To the praise of the glory of his grace is to celebrate it, to applaud it, to sing the praises of it, the glory of God's grace towards us, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved. That's the Beloved is Jesus Christ, in whom we have redemption through his blood. God took us in as family. It's part of that redemption is making a family relationship and helping a family member. God did that for us through his blood, the blood of Jesus Christ. The forgiveness of sins. Anybody been forgiven of any? I have. According to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. He knew what he was doing. He thought it through. He planned it for thousands of years before he pulled it off. And having made known unto us the mystery of his will, the things that had been kept secret, he's made known to just humble people like us, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. Nobody asked him to do it or instructed him how. Nobody got a committee together and saying we ought to tell God how to save us. He had his own plan and his own desires. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, and that's still coming, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. All things will be gathered under the head of Jesus Christ, including the angels and the spirit beings and the people that have been born again and the people that have been raised from the dead will all be under the head of Christ. Even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance. It's good to know you're an heir. You know, a designated heir. Being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. You know, and that predestinated means marked in advance. God determined what he would do for those that would believe in his son. He had plans for all those that would believe in his son. And then to get in, all you have to do is believe. And then you're among those that have been marked out in advance. The purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. He determined what he wanted to do. And what he wanted to do was that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. And that would be talking about those of Israel were the ones that first trusted in Christ. They had that first hope of the Christ, right? In whom ye also trusted, you Gentiles that believed. After that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, the new things that are coming that God has prepared, unto the praise of his glory. And there we have that praise again, the praise of God's glory. And that in verse 12 where it says that those of Israel should be to the praise of his glory, again, because God opened it up to the Gentiles also. That's what we're all to do, to be to the praise of God's glory. And it includes everything that we read in the Old Testament, singing God's praises, speaking of how great God is, all that and more, because it's to be to the praise of God's glory, to exist for the praise of God's glory. So that when people see you who believe the word of God, what do they see? They see the result of how good God is. They see the things that God's done for you. They see, here's a man who is, you know, like Doug Hamilton, who he's told us many times, should have died decades ago. He can tell you those stories back then better than anybody else could, if he wants to. But here's a man that maybe should have died many years ago physically, but and then he was hit by a car, thrown over an embankment. They found, you know, some cancer in his lungs so that they could remove that, and so that won't be something that's going to affect him. They got it before it had done any damage at all. Here's a, you know, here's a man that just the love of God has been poured out to him. And if you talk to Doug, you know what Doug always talks about? He's always talking about God, how good God is, right? Same with, we all have that same story. You know, why are we here? You know, here's a lady that should have died and never made it from being an infant because she was only weighed like, what, 1 pound, 3 ounces? You know? My daughter, you know, came out without breathing. We prayed for her right from, and God revived her right from, you know, the first 5 minutes she was born, right? So many of us have stories that we can tell of how God saved our physical lives, and then God got someone to share the word with us so that we could receive eternal life. Eternal life. You know? That even if these bodies do die, we're going to get up again and live forever. You know, with God and with each other. What, you know? What's to talk about? What's to think about? What's to sing about? But how great God is. And how great God's Son is. And how great God's Word is. And how great one another is, you know? If you want to tell Doug's story to somebody else, I'm sure he won't mind. It'll, you know, we're all a fellowship. We're all a body. What's happened to him has happened to all of us. Right? We weep when we weep together. We rejoice when we rejoice together. And you know, we're all in this together. And not only us, but everyone that's in the body of Christ. You know, God saved us all. So we have a lot of praises to sing, but not only to sing, but to be, to live, to exist in the praise of God's glory. So thank you, dear God, for being so good, for being so wonderful, and for giving us songs to sing that we love to sing, to give us the word to read and to believe and to live by and to share with others, so that when people see our lives, they see a good God, they see a great God, they see a wonderful Savior, they see a God who loves and has compassion for people. And we can testify to that because we've all been the recipients of your love and your goodness. You know, we might not have a lot to be proud of from our own accomplishments, but we have so much to be thankful for, and we can boast about you to everybody. And we thank you in Christ's name. Amen.